Alan.
Six. Hi.
This is the second to last episode of this season of The Garnet Wager.
I don't know why that made me sad, as if we're not going to continue doing the show after this season. I like frowned for a second. But no, it's
we'll take a little break.
We're getting somewhere.
We are. And I think I might try something. I'm still figuring out. I want to do something special for the challenge next week. But for this week, we're doing a different kind of special, because we're going to play a game that means a lot to both of us.
Mm-hmm. One might say it's the best of its genre.
I definitely think it's in the conversation. I don't know if at times I have considered Grow Mark of the Wolves to be the best fighting game. Right now, I don't know. But it's definitely top three.
It's just a masterpiece of good game feel and satisfying combos and... It's honestly feel for me, and it's like one of the first fighting games that I ever felt like I'm comfortable with my entire moveset. Like, the moveset is very, it's like dead simple, and the characters are fun, and it's all based in the King of Fighters sort of universe, so there's a lot of like established character and detail if you're interested in that stuff.
I feel like it has a lot of elegant simplicity. Like, it's really approachable in a way of a lot of fighting games are not. So.
Yeah, all of its systems are designed for you to be like, like the thing you would inherently do when you're getting attacked is like block, for example. And the game is like, oh, if you block with good timing, you can get health back. And like, that's just a simple way to be like, if you're good and you have good timing, then you're going to have a good time. It's that simple.
But we're not here to review the game.
No.
We're here to kick ass in it.
Yes.
So let's go.
Let's put our quarters in. We're playing the arcade version, the right version.
The fighters are set for the first game. Six picks the pirate queen Bijanette, effective at nearly all ranges, while Alan opts for Kushnood Butt. Yes, you heard that name right. Whose strength is more in mid and close range fundamentals.
Oh no, I forgot you're actually going to play your main because we're being super serial now. This sucks. This sucks a lot.
The first round goes swiftly. Six controls the range too well, and Alan isn't able to get into effective range before being shut down. The second round is far more back and forth. Alan closes in quickly, and Six attempts a dangerous dance in and out of her opponent's range, leading to even damage on both sides. With both players at half health, Six manages an unlikely parry of Alan's attack, and cancels it into a vicious counter. The breathing room of this afford Six is too much for Alan to overcome, and the first game goes to Six.
Are you really a fighter, she says to me, specifically pointing in the screen.
Yeah, no, that was kind of harsh. Why is it that I always pick the characters that end up being really disrespectful when they win? I'm sure it's not intentional.
As per traditional fighting game rules, Six isn't allowed to change characters for the second game. You may only change characters upon losing. Verbigenet is met by Alan's new choice of character, Rock Howard, a more all-ranges character, who is harder for Genet to overpressure. This change in character works very well, immediately. Alan is pressuring Six and forcing situations that aren't to the Pirate Queen's favor. Six does manage to keep it even, however, and as they trade hits, time winds down, and both fighters are low on life. Six seizes a minuscule lead, and in a rush to even the score, Alan slips up and Six secures the first round.
Yes, 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 no, no!
Alan shakes off the loss and proceeds to control the second round with superior footwork, cornering Six. For back against the wall, Six makes a series of lucky predictions and pulls the unlikely comeback, stealing the round and therefore the second game. Whoa.
Whoa!
Oh. 2-0. Bijanette takes it again.
Neither player changes characters for game 3. Six is still unable to as the winner, and Alan can tell how close they were and wants one more shot at the matchup. I'm going to play Rock again. That felt right. There's something in the air. The first round is fairly back and forth, but Six is simply getting more damage out of the same opportunities and nabs the first win. The second round is a carefully spaced slugfest, but as time dwindles, Alan suddenly disengages and Six is unable to catch up before the end. Alan wins round 2 with a clutch time over. The third and final round is less climactic. After a few early trades, Alan goes for some risky parries that fail one after another, and Six takes the final round and the challenge.
Alright. That's 3-0, Alan. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
The listener at home doesn't know that I'm just dunking quarters. Like, imagine doing that in real life. You lose and you're just like... Hold on. Ding, 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 ding. Like, slide.
All right. I lost. I have your homework ready for you, Alan.
Oh, boy.
What is this? For your homework, you are going to play a PC video game.
Oh, man.
By the title of Stardew Valley.
Oh, no. Should we explain to people why? That's why?
Sure. Go for it.
Yeah. All right. All right, MX. Alan and I are still playing the game because it's really fun and I don't want to get distracted. Recently, a friend of ours was like, you know what's a good game? Harvest Moon, except there are no good Harvest Moon games. Like, it's a good franchise with good potential that the actual games in it are not that good. And then Six was like, Galaxy Brain Take, the only good Harvest Moon game is Stardew Valley. And I was like, I've never played Stardew Valley, and I find it boring and not, like, something I'm into. And V was like, all right, well, you're going to play it at some point.
I want to point out the amazing amount of editorialization going on there, but otherwise, basically correct about events.
What part's editorializing?
Well, first off, it was our friend who said Stardew Valley is the best one, and I said, you're right.
Oh, I forgot. I
That's part of it.
God, T-Talk just sucks. Yeah, so so just 30 minutes? I just got to make a farm for 30 minutes?
Sure.
Okay.
Or more sure. If you want. We can do co-op if you want.
But... Good point. Can we?
Yeah.
Please stop winning. I'm so grumpy. I can't.
Alan just rage quit. All right, into the episode.
Woo! Bandage Man. I eat cigarettes for breakfast.
The Garnet Wager is a game where two players compete in challenges while watching episodes of The Genius. Challenges occur once per podcast, and the winner receives a quantity of garnets, depending on the challenge, and can assign media homework for that episode. The loser must report back on that media at the end of the episode. If they liked it, the winner receives an additional garnet. Garnets may also be wagered in various bets according to the whims of the players. Garnets are not obtained automatically. When you successfully win a garnet, you have 5 minutes to claim that garnet or becomes available for your opponent to claim. The first person to say Jin-Ho after 5 minutes have elapsed receives the garnet, so long as they inform their opponent of the acquisition at the end of the episode. This is the Garnet Wager. Begin.
Welcome back to the Garnet Wager. As always, my name is Alan, and I'm joined by Six. Hello, Six.
Hey. Hi. How's it going?
Good. If there's anything I love, it's The Genius, and it's bogarting the intro of the episode.
You know, I end up doing the intros just because it's like there's this silence, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll take care of it. But, like, it's actually kind of a relief when someone else takes over. It's nice.
Yeah. It's like a relationship. It's like a partnership. You don't want somebody to be the front all the time, the top constantly. You kind of want to have a... equal partnership of friendship.
So we're getting ready to talk about episode 11 of season 1 of The Genius.
You're just going to waltz right over me making an almost thinly veiled... whatever. Never mind.
Now, before we get too far into it, I want to give a shout out to a document that I wish we could feature more heavily on the show, but I don't think we will end up doing so. Listener Reese sent up a very detailed list of predictions as to what we would think about the show. I read through preview predictions and the start. It's sort of like segmented, like preview predictions, the start, main match, death match,
Yeah. Finals
preview. So I read preview predictions and the start, and I'm stopping there for now because I don't want it to inform what I actually think. I want to compare after the fact.
Yeah.
But it's very in depth, and already there's some stuff. There's some stuff that, turns out we kind of have a rhythm, and we're predictable humans, Alan.
I mean, it's a good thing, right? That means that we have a house style.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, that document is extremely in depth. I also skimmed it. I read a little bit into the main match stuff, and then I was like, yeah, I was like, I want to just have these opinions, and then have Reese be like excited that they were right. But yeah, mostly on point. So occasionally, like, I didn't necessarily think about that. So, but it's an interesting episode because we're almost at the end now.
Well, so, and also there are some, I think, I don't know. From what I've seen, there are some pretty big misassumptions about how I feel, because I've had some conversations with Reese about Songmin. Reese is not a Songmin fan.
Oh, no.
Reese is a Jinho fan. And so I think that flavors some of this commentary, where there is an assumption that I'm going to be erring on the side of Songmin at all times, which is a reasonable assumption, but happens to be incorrect. Alan?
Yeah.
I'm going to drop a hard statement up at the front here. This is the second worst episode of The Genius I've seen.
Oh, my God. Spicy from the get-go.
I think all the content from the contestants, I think the players did a great job. I think both of these matches suck.
Wow. Both of them? Even Fun Memory Game?
I don't like Fun Memory Game. We'll get into it when we get to the DM. But yeah, no, I didn't like either of them. I thought the DM was better. I thought the main match was bad.
Okay, I'm just goofing. That's interesting. I'm curious why you thought that.
Well, so we're starting out as we usually do with everybody filing into the hall, and by everybody I mean three people, because we're running short on cast at this point in the show. And Songmin is first, and he's wearing this like, what is that? It's like weathered looking, like it was made to look weathered, like wool trilby.
Yeah.
You got Songmin.
Like, I think I just wrote Songmin is now leaning so hard into his bit. Like, it almost, this is now, we've exactly reached the point where it's like, all right, I get it. Songmin's wearing a fun outfit. Like, I do love it. I they know I love it. It's just sometimes I get annoyed when the creators of a show seem to know the thing I like and just try to push it really hard.
I mean, I can see why you would feel that way. I love it when they successfully appeal to me. To me, this isn't a successful appeal, because it's just like, oh, you're wearing a bad hat. That's a bad hat.
It's a bad hat. And then Jinho comes in, and he's like, hey, Songmin, what's going on? And their interactions are weirdly, like, kind of nice and friendly.
There's a weird, between all three of them, at the beginning of this, there's this really interesting dynamic of these, you know, like, they've been playing together for weeks now. They've had so much time together. They've cooperated. They've worked against each other, but they've also had a chance to watch The Genius as it's airing, and thus they've been influenced by the lens of the editor, and that's really interesting.
Right.
Like, Jinho talks about feeling like Songmin's been trying to eliminate him this whole time, and I didn't get that impression. I mean, I think Songmin's trying to eliminate anyone who isn't Songmin, and is maybe trying to protect Sungyu and Kyungran. I think that's fair, but it never seemed like he was really out for Jinho to me.
I think at this point the players are just trying to find reasons to, it's like themselves, and I'm not, this is not related to me saying maybe the show was scripted at some point. This is just like the players seem to be looking for reasons to have conflict with each other.
Sure. I mean, like, if you're gonna, like, you're at a point where, like, there are three players. At the end of this main match, one person will win and two people will go to the DM.
Yeah.
And so you kind of, for your own sanity, you need to find a way to kind of have a beef with the other two players so that it doesn't, so that you feel okay with them going home.
Yeah.
Otherwise it sucks. Otherwise it's like, oh man, like which everybody of my friends is going home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the structure of this episode I actually liked. I understand not liking the game at all and not liking the DM is fine, but I think the way that they sort of lay out, I mean, also Kyungran comes in and she's great. We love Kyungran, yay. And then they bring in the, who I referred to in my notes as the randos,
I wrote, so at first, for some reason, I misunderstood. I saw the 10 people and I was like, the 10 guests that are like the previous contestants. Yeah. And I was like, wait, no. No, these are just 10 randos. Yes.
10 humans from Korea.
Well, I mean, I guess nobody asked, spoilers for the main match, no one asked, are you a human? So maybe they're not all humans.
Oh my God, Nier Automata is so good. So crazy. No, they're all just people of various ages and types of person, I guess. And they start by saying, hey guys, here's 10 people. You need to talk to them and get to know them really well for 1 hour. We are not going to tell you what the game is. We are not going to tell you what you need to know. Just socialize for an hour. And hopefully it'll help you in the game. Good luck, bye, and whatever. Good luck.
And so, secretly, we learn a little ways into the socialization and it being sort of weird and the people acting strangely that the guests have secret rules that if the same question is asked with three or more people present, don't answer.
Yep.
You don't need to answer questions that invade your privacy, and don't listen to any requests from players. And this element is like the three people thing is kind of played upon some with like people leaving the room at weird times. But mostly they don't do very much with this. And it just felt like needless complication that didn't add anything to me.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
I said Jinho less than 5 minutes into the episode. Does that count as claiming my garnets? Or did I have to say I claim my garnets because I want my garnets?
I mean, you successfully Jinho'd me. Did we work out? Did we even work out? Oh, wait, I beat you.
No. Did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I just Jinho'd you.
Yeah, you just Jinho'd. I mean, it's still a Jinho if you had won. It's just you would get also the garnets that I had.
Right. Suck.
All right. Nice work.
You, the listener, get to... I wanted to give it to the end of the episode, but I was like, wait. Because for some reason in my head, I thought I won. And I was like, if I just said Jinho and I didn't say I claim them, does that not count? And I had to make sure because I couldn't stop thinking about it.
No, you could have waited till the end of the episode. The rule with a Jinho is you have to claim it before the end of the episode.
I have to claim it. I don't have to. It doesn't count if I just say Jinho. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, there could be an episode where we mention Jinho, but neither of us consciously Jinho'd. So you need to give some indication that it was a conscious Jinho.
Yes, at some point. Okay, that makes sense. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. I got garnets.
Uh huh.
We'll do counts.
Have to figure out how many. Yeah.
So I'm gonna also, while they're like bringing out the people, he's like, I don't know, I'm gonna relax this around. I'm gonna have like a fun time, which that's a death knell, my guy. You just sealed your own fate. You're in the top three of a game show. Like, that's how you don't win, is you say like, come on. Like, you can't be Gura in episode 2 being like, this is easy. I've already figured it out. Bye, guys.
On the other hand, though, I mean, like, so this main match, is in two rounds, basically, right? Mm-hmm. There's a 3-question part first, and then there's a 5-question part second. The first round is garbage. Mm-hmm. Throw the first round into the dumpster. It's bad content. And, like, it's entertaining from the players, but it's like, okay, you gave these players an hour to talk to 10 random strangers, and they were like, okay, now here are the rules. And not only did you not tell them the rules beforehand, they weren't realistically predictable. There were no clues.
Yeah, there's no way to actually know that stuff.
I think it just fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad game.
So what is it just because they don't have enough information and it just feels like it's designed to screw them over?
I mean, it doesn't feel like the genius is supposed to be this test of like psychological and social and mental acuity,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And this is a Japanese game show where there should be like a laugh track. Like, this is trash.
Yeah. I mean, the only part that I thought was interesting from like a, cause ideally a genius game should be like, oh, these people are doing something smart that's using their brain or their creativity or like you said, their social skills in a cool way. The only part that vaguely felt like that was when they had to write out the questions with a character limit.
Mm-hmm.
But then that just relies on the viewer knowing Korean. So I was just like, I guess they're doing well. And I'm reading what the question is, but I don't.
And also,
I'm not seeing why that's hard.
And also, nobody ever, like, there was one point where they're like, how's Kyungran going to make it within the character limit? And she does it, and it's no problem.
Yeah.
Like, the character limit actually is never an issue.
No, not at all.
So it, yeah.
The other big problem with the game is that they game the game, if you will, or they cheese it, I guess is the phrase. Because they just realize, oh, I can just ask really simple or like game the system, like when Songmin in like the second round or whatever gives somebody a bracelet and then says, "Are five people wearing a bracelet?" And it's like, yeah, you gave what? This isn't creative.
But that's the genius. Like, that part is the good part, frankly, of this. I mean, like, I agree that it's too easy. Like, that's the problem, is the first round is too, like, random. It's just sort of like, oh, like, based on nothing, you happen to guess questions that were useful for this game, so you're going to do well.
Yeah.
And then second round, it's like, unless you, like, super fuck up, you're going to get 5 out of 5. Like, so when they, I wrote down a note. I wanted to, I thought I was so clever. So when they announced, like, okay, like, time for round 5, I immediately paused my YouTube and was like, okay, this is the way you do this. Go to chosen guests, go to 5 chosen guests and have specific interactions with them.
Mm-hmm.
Shake their hand or whatever and then say, you know, 5 people whose hands I shook.
Yeah, Jinho kind of does that.
Yeah, no, that exactly, because a little bit later, I'm like, oh, wait, Jinho thought of that. But it's like, I'm not that smart and I thought of that. Like, this game is...
No, exactly.
Once you know the rules, this game is really solvable. And before you know the rules, there's no way you could realistically solve it. It's just a bad game.
Like, the first round is... I mean, I know you said you don't like the first round, but the thing that's supposed to be interesting about the first round is them, like, scrambling to ask so many questions just on the offhand possibility that they're going to get the right thing. Like, what's your blood type? What's your age? What school did you go to? What did you study in school? You know, how do you spell your name? You know, how many siblings do you have? Just, like, really broad questions with the hope, like, oh, maybe one of these will be the essential thing I needed. And then as soon as they realize, like, no, it just has to be something you can get 5 people to say yes to and 5 people to say no to, you did it. You won the game.
But, like, the thing that makes it bad is that that's a bizarre use of information,
yeah.
Right? If it was like, okay, like, times, like, you had an hour to know these people, now an hour is up, you need to find a person who would be best suited to handle this situation, then that makes sense, because then you actually, you're like, oh, I got to know this person, and this person's a doctor, and they would know how to do this,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Then the information about their lives is actually relevant, and not just like, well, coincidentally, I happen to notice a pattern. Like, and not even notice a pattern, but, like, notice sort of a pattern, because you have a true pattern that's 10 out of 10 and that's useless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's such a, I'm pretty unhappy with the way they built this game.
Yeah, it's just not, that interesting, ultimately. Like,
no.
All the stuff I enjoyed was, everyone's being wacky as always. It's the genius. We act wacky. We have funny characters. Kyungran is, like, stamped, for some reason, like, goes from... The whole game, she's so collected and strategic and intelligent, and suddenly when it comes to, like, social interactions, she's just like, I don't know how to talk to people, I don't know how to speak full sentences, I'm confused and scared. And that's kind of relatable, but, like, and none of the people are that interesting also. Not that they need to be, but it's just, like, there's no, like, trait or quality to them that makes it suddenly, like, oh, this is, like, their thing, you know?
But in a strange way, I feel like this is maybe the most, like, overall, sum total, human episode.
Yeah.
Where it's an episode about, like, people, like, trying to figure out what to do in a situation where they don't know, like, what the rules are. It's people being, like, socially awkward. It's people being nervous. It's people being, like, upset with each other, but knowing that they kind of can't be upset with each other.
Right.
Like, Kyungran is repeatedly... terrifying the guests with her facial expressions because she realizes she just got screwed and she's trying to hold it back, but the guests are like, I'm so fucking scared right now. Like, or I mean, even the hosts, the dealers are like acting way more like human. There's an amazing sequence where Songmin is writing up one of his questions and he has bad handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of his questions is unclear, but, like, the dealers are supposed to sort of be removed. And so they're not just saying, like, listen, your handwriting is bad, write it better. They're just saying, like, this question is not okay. And Sungman's like, all right, okay, I'll rewrite it. And he just keeps, like, rephrasing it with more and more, like, arbitrary, archaic language. And the dealer's just cracking up.
Right.
It's, everyone comes across as such a, such a person in this episode. There's so much humanity, and it's a real bummer that it's all laid on top of a game that I just don't think is any good.
That moment speaks to so much of the of our problems with the episode, though. Like, the funniest, most amazing part of this Genius episode, it has nothing to do with the game at all.
And in fact, it's sort of like the game's, like, arbitrary rules getting away. Like, there's no reason other than they decided that they couldn't just say, Songmin, we can't read your handwriting, please rewrite it. They're just sort of like, no, we've got to remain aloof and mysterious, and so we're just going to say this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's, like, it turned into a funny moment because Songmin's an entertainer and the host seems like a pretty cool lady, but, like, that's dumb.
Yeah. It's super dumb. I often forget to watch the outtakes for this show, but the two outtakes this week, one of them, I can't remember what it was, but the other one was, like, the full version of that scene. And it's even funnier because it's like her realizing that she can't read it and then talking to her, presumably the producer in her ear being like, what do I do? What do I do? He wrote nonsense. And then it's like, you don't hear the other guy, but then she's like, Songmin, and she's just like giggling and cracking up and Songmin's laughing and it goes on for so long and it's just like, oh, they're having fun. They're just people. This is what I want.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoy it when people have smart strats and good plays. I mean, like, everyone shows a level of really smart and different approaches to the game, right? Like, Kyung Ren comes up with the 4+1 strat, right? Where she's like, I don't have a question that splits them into 5 and 5, so I will combine two questions, one that gets me 4 and 6, and one that gets me 1 and 9.
Yeah.
And that's really smart. Songmin, of course, has the moment where he, like, he just realizes that his information gathering was bad and just starts working purely on, like, visual information, almost. He's just sort of like, which five of you are crossing your legs right now? And it's like, that's not, you know, when you say the word genius, at least to an American, we have this idea of, like, calculations and, like, these, like, deep, you know, like, mathematical, intellectual, insightful kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
But there's also a kind of intelligence where it's like not making things more complicated than they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I think Songmin excels at. I don't know that he's as good at the math side of things, but it's like, no, I don't need to make this problem super complicated. I don't need to invent this special type of pen so we can write in space. I'll give our astronauts pencils.
I actually have been meaning to ask you that question for a while, and I'm glad we are now talking about it right here at the end of towards the end of the first season, but I was going to ask you, like, what does the word genius mean to you? Because it has a cultural perspective that we don't often consider, like, what the word genius means over there and what it means here and what it means everywhere that people are watching this show. And it's also a subjective word, like, very much so. Because I used to think as a kid, obviously, genius meant, like, you're very smart and you're, like, book smart and you're really knowledgeable about things. And I've actually, like, specifically thought about that term a lot lately, and the closest thing I've come to a definition of it is a person who is not necessarily good at a lot of things, but is good enough at pretty much everything that they can maintain an intelligent discourse about anything, about literally anything. That is a genius.
That's interesting.
And
it's not,
I describe that to someone and they're like, no, well, that's just being well-rounded. And I'm like, no, but that, like, there's nothing you can challenge them on where they're going to sound ignorant or unknowledgeable. They're knowledgeable, they're diversely knowledgeable, and to me, that is a genius.
I think of it like the difference. Okay, so think of a person as a computer, right?
Yeah, hell yeah. That's goals.
So there are lots of ways for a computer to get you the information, to get you the right result, right?
Mm.
And one of the ways could be that it has a bunch of, like, information stored on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's like there are people who just know a lot. They've done a lot of reading. They've done a lot of studying. They know a lot of things. Those people are very smart. But a genius could have that, could not have that. What they have is a very high processing power, right?
Yeah.
A genius is a person who is clocked at a higher speed mm-hmm. than the average person significantly. So it's like, I don't know if they have all the answers, but, like, when they are presented with a problem, given the same amount of information as someone else, they will handle it faster. That's a genius to me.
Okay, yeah. It like, quick on your feet, basically.
Quick on your feet and just sort of, like, prone to, like, things that some people have to think about are intuitive to you, right? Like, there's, you talk to people who, like, haven't done a whole bunch of math in their life. Like, that's not a thing they really studied. But also, when you ask them a complicated math problem, they don't have to write it out. They just know the answer. It's just sort of like, oh, no, I just did that in my head real quick, because that's just how my brain is built.
Yeah, and you never have to count on your fingers. You never have to use a calculator. You just know you're able to, like, do that type of thinking intuitively. I guess, yeah, that's a valid definition.
And I know I keep coming back to math, but that's just because I feel like genius in mathematics is more easy to quantify.
Yes.
There are geniuses of art, there are geniuses of sports, there are geniuses of all sorts of things, but it's a lot harder to measure what makes you a genius in those fields.
I definitely am more likely to call a concept or something that somebody does genius than I am to call a person a genius.
Mm-hmm.
But to turn this back to the show, I mean, this game doesn't test any of that stuff in any of the players. It's just, can you make a pattern work with these people who you don't know? And also, here's 45 minutes of you, like, flailing to talk to human beings.
Yeah. I mean, I think they get, like, as I say, they get some of it in round two, but it's a little too easy. Of sort of like, okay, here's this weird problem. Use your processing power to figure out a solution to this weird problem. Like Jinho's, as we say, where he's like, okay, well, I'm just going to have interactions with people that are singular and stand out. So it's like, yeah, we touched the back of our hands together. Everyone's going to know whether or not that happened to them, and that way he can control the information. And, you know, the spectators, like the guests, talk about how impressed they were by Jinho. There are some people who are like, I came in here as a Kyungren fan, and the way Jinho handled this changed my mind. He's
right.
Amazing.
Right, right.
He's really a genius. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have as many notes on this one, because a lot of it was just like, you know, like, funny and not as interesting, you know?
Yeah, it was a lot of comedy. It was a lot of just, like, silly character stuff. And then the game just kind of ended. Like, I think my biggest issue and the reason I didn't find the game that interesting was, like, I was never surprised. The only time I was surprised at all was, and for the stupidest reason, was when Kyungran says, like, everybody with an even-numbered birthday is her name, is her question. And she gets 4 and 6. And then she's like, wait, I literally asked the question correctly. And the girl is like, I didn't understand this. I was wondering if you could clarify this for me. She says, I wrote the name that's on my ID, not my actual birthday.
So I think the situation is like on her ID. I couldn't tell if it was because of like some weirdness with her birth or her or with moving there. But at some point in her life, she legally had to claim she was older than she actually was.
Why do you think that is?
Maybe it could be a situation where it's like as she mentioned specifically her residence, like registry.
Okay.
I wonder if it's a situation where like she was really close to being a legal adult when she moved here and she needed to lie to make that work or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Maybe that makes some more sense.
Like if you wanted to immigrate to Korea, I bet they treat kids differently than adults. Ooh. And she was like, if I shift these numbers just a little bit, I can change which category I am in, and it will make things easier for me.
That's so funny. Because, whatever, Kyungran's like, that's so annoying. Like, I could have won. I would have done great. And then it's just hoisted by that. And we get, like, these weird moments where she is, like, glaring at that girl as they're leaving. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what? Are you going to, like, threaten this person while playing it? And she gets very serious about it.
Yeah,
but that's fine. Like that was just like the only moment, like I said, where I was like, that's kind of surprising that she didn't get the point she wanted. The other thing that bothered me was, and this is like predictable of us to say this, I guess this was actually on that predictions list, but, the racing girl is like, so there's one of the 10 people is, a woman who's a racing model. Like she does like models for race cars or something.
Sure.
And they keep on making jokes about how Songmin and Jinho are like a cute, pretty lady, and like shifting their eyes. And the male hosts are like shifting their eyes. Which, by the way, they didn't point out that the woman was also looking at the girl, which I thought was funny.
I mean, they gave her the emotext as well.
They did. That's true. Everyone's like, "Dang, girl!" And like, yeah, she's a pretty lady. She's wearing a nice dress, but like, it's, like they just linger on it so much to the point where it's like kind of gross.
I felt like the way they presented it was, like, I thought it was fun because it felt comedic to me. Like, they were making it so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right, it wasn't, I mean, like, you know, they weren't going for any, like, gratuitous shots. It was just sort of like every time she popped on screen, they would start playing this song that's like, so sexy. And I'm just like, this is absurd. This is fucking funny. I thought it was good. And I thought she was a really good sport.
Yes.
That lady seemed like she was the most willing to answer questions. Honestly, she was really friendly. She let Songmin like haul her by the wrist into a closet and then put a bracelet on her. She was very willing to play along.
Yeah, that was, they do this thing on the Genius every once in a while where like during the chaos of the like middle round, somebody will do something weird like that and they won't linger on it until later, way later in like the DM or something. And then they're like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's what that was. And I don't know what the hell I thought he was doing. But I was like, what? The camera's just like skipping right over this weird moment. And then later it's like, no, he was just putting a bracelet on her. But I thought that was really strange. I did think she was really good. I thought she was probably my favorite. She wasn't really like the most memorable of all of the people. Because she stood out and she was like playing along. Because they tell them one of their rules is you don't have to answer anything that's like personal. And she's totally open with talking about herself and all that stuff. I thought it was really funny, though, when, because of that rule, a lot of times people would say, like, how old are you to the women? And the women would be like, guess. Like, what? Like, I asked you a real straightforward question. No, just guess.
Though apparently some of them lied to Kyungran about it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Which is, you know, it's fair. Fair enough.
Hey, when's your birthday?
Kind of screwed her a bit, but.
Like, when's your birthday? Oh, that's an objective answer. You gave me the wrong answer? What?
Like, what? Well, also, I mean, I feel like when you're at the point where you're asking, like, gender aside, you're asking a person, what's your birthday? And they say, how old are you? And you say, like, 20s. And they say, like, where in your 20s? It's like, guess. It's like, okay, they don't want to cooperate with this question.
Yeah.
Maybe change your line of questioning.
Ask a different question, because you're not getting anything out of this. Yeah. True.
Right.
Oh,
so
it's
that's
weird.
That's just kind of them not reading the air, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. I think that covers most of the actual game. I mean, the host stuff is really fun. He gives the girl a bracelet, and then Jinho fucking finally gets a win.
Yeah, he wins a main match, and good for him. You know, he figured out a way through the game that, you know, again, like. This game is just bad. It's just a bad game. I really hope that the finale is pretty awesome. Cause like, I feel like I've had almost nothing but good things to say about this show the whole time. And now we're at the second to last episode and I'm like, this episode was weak.
Yeah. It's a little bit sucky. Like a teen to it. You don't watch the previews, do you?
This, we rolled into this one so quickly that I ended up watching some of it.
Okay. But. Yeah. I think it's going to be amazing. I think it's going to be the greatest episode of all time. I have high hopes. But we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about it after our homework.
Copyright strikes are coming. Homework. No, I like chopped and screwed it.
But like Nintendo has copyrighted like every single possible variant of that song.
That's fair. Please don't sue us, Nintendo. We love you, I guess, sometimes. Hi, homework. Six made me play a video game again.
I did. That's a thing that I do. We only have one more homework to go.
That's true. Shit.
I'll have to make you get Taco Bell or something weird.
Oh, don't do that. Don't punish me like that. That's yucky.
Alan, for your homework this week, you got diarrhea.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sorry for that mental image, folks. Okay, so you played Stardew Valley.
I did. Did I? I guess I did.
You played numerous hours.
That's definitely accurate. I had that game launched for several hours.
I was there for some of them.
Yes, you were. So, I've heard of Stardew Valley. It's been around for a while. It's really big and like there's like a specific culture of like PC gaming where it's like I just want to play a chill game.
It's like people who want to have a good time.
It's like people with like good taste and fun personalities that you do want to hang out with and be friends with.
Handsome and beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, all those people. Yes. So we're talking about us. People who like farming games or simulators or like the survival games with low stakes or building games or city management games. Like those, that's the type of person that always talked about Stardew Valley in these high terms of like, oh my God, like they made the best one of these. It was sold to me as Harvest Moon, but good. And I've never played a Harvest Moon game before. So I've played, well, I'm trying to think of what, like, kind of farming games I played. I mean, I, like, messed with Farmville, like everyone did in the late 2000s. And
I actually never played Farmville.
It's not good. I mean, it's whatever. It's a like, manipulative free-to-play game. But that has some, it's just a lot of waiting mechanics, you know? But Stardew Valley actually is, like, it's interesting because with something like Farmville, this is a really weird line of comparison, but something like Farmville, you're expected to wait because you can obviously bypass waiting by putting in money. Stardew Valley is the rare game where what you see is what you get. That game is entirely unlocked to you from the second you step foot on the farm. And I think what I like about that is that it actually ties into what the game is, like, capital A about, from its intro at least, which is basically you play as, like, a presumably, like, mid-20s person of a gender of your choosing and appearance of your choosing. And it starts with your grandfather, who looks like Santa Claus, on his deathbed. And he gives his grandkids an envelope, and he says, open this when you've had enough, basically. Like, when you've had enough of the world. And then it flashes forward. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong about anything.
You're good.
But you flash forward, and then you're working an office job at this, like, shitty, basically Amazon. Like, that's the logo for the company looks just like Amazon. And you work, like, a cubicle job, and your character just looks so, like, tired and depressed. And finally, they, like, bang their head against the desk, and then they open up the drawer with the letter inside, and it says, well, you're here. You're at the point in your life where you felt like you were burned out. So what is included is the deed to my farm. It's located in a place called Stardew Valley, and I want you to go there, and I want you to cultivate it and do whatever you want with it and spend your life there. And, I mean, that's the setup. You go there, you meet the mayor of the town, you're given some basic tasks, but you kind of just do stuff. And that was where I first, like, rubbed elbows with what I didn't like about the game at first, which is, I think I like structure a lot. I think I like having goals a lot, and I don't know if that's a bad thing. It was weird, because you get, you know, you start with all of the basic tools, and you're given, like, the farm is pretty dirty at first, and you have this energy mechanic where if you clean stuff up, it takes energy, but if you go to sleep, you can reset your energy. And, I mean, at first my worry was it seemed like there was a number of days limit. There's no days limit in this game, right? There's no, like, no time before you have to stop playing.
No, just go for as long as you want.
And you don't age, and you don't, like, people don't, it's not like Animal Crossing where people, like, move out. Things are just the way they are forever.
Someone moves in after a couple of months, but that's it.
Yeah, I think I've read about that. But, there is no penalty for, like, the joke is, it feels like a survival game where you're like, oh, if I don't, you know, do X number of things in this day, then it wasn't productive. And if I'm going to go to sleep at 3 PM and I'll feel like shit. The game doesn't criticize you for that or chastise you for going to sleep early. You're just like, I spent today working on my crops and I burned all my energy before noon and now I'm going to go to bed. The next day I talk to people all day and now it's dark, so I have to go to bed just to reset the day. Like, there is no pressure to do anything. The quests are just there to teach you how to do things, but they're not the rewards aren't, like, amazing, it seems like. And I think once I got the general gist of, like, the systems of farming and social stuff, by talking and playing it with you over Discord, I gained an appreciation for that game a lot. I don't think I'm going to play it a lot more, which makes me sad, just because it did give me the sad realization of, like, fuck, I think I just want goals. I just want the, like, MMO quest log, tell me what to do, and then give me something for it. And maybe that says something negative about me, I think.
I think you just need to change the way you're thinking about it, and not as in, like, change your way so you're not thinking of goals. There are goals there. They're just not the same. They're not explicit, but they are pretty, once you see them, they're pretty clear. Like, one of the things during the time that I was watching you that I tried to point out was, like, hey, you're running into inventory issues a lot.
Yeah.
For 2,000 gold, you can upgrade your backpack.
So go get 2,000 gold.
Right, go get 2,000 gold. And so, like, there's a goal. There's a short-term goal for you. And after you do that, it's like, okay, you want to build a barn. That's going to cost you, like, you know, 20,000 gold and a bunch of wood and stone. Work on that. And then it's like, okay, you want to start exploring the mines more. You're going to need to build some sprinklers so that your farm is self-sufficient and you have time to do that.
Right.
Like, there are goals all over the place. It's just Stardew Valley never pressures you.
Yeah, it's...
Like, you don't have to... Like, you mentioned that, like, some of the people that are into it is survival game people, which is interesting to me because Stardew Valley, like, you don't have any bills. You never have to eat. You could, like, you wake up in the morning every day in the game.
Yeah.
And you could just turn around and go back into bed, and you can do that for as long as you want. There will never be a single consequence.
Nobody will be mad at you. Nobody will judge you. Your character will not suddenly get, like, tired or obese or something. It's like... I kind of want to come at this from a couple of angles, one of which is a conversation I had with you and a couple of friends over Discord a little while ago where I was playing Zelda Breath of the Wild, and mm-hmm. I was, like, not clicking with that game for a while. And you and a couple other people were like, do you not like exploring just like the random wilderness? And I was like, no, I kind of like the finding things to do. And everyone was like, delete the game. Don't play the game anymore. You need with open world games of that sort to like appreciate just existing in them.
Yeah, it's you know, people talk about like the journey, not the destination. Yeah. And this is like, but like, they don't mean it as much as they mean it with, like, Breath of the Wild, where it's like, no, literally, walking down a road and nothing happening is the fun of the game.
Yeah. If you find a temple, that's cool, but, like, you should just... The process of getting there is the fun, honestly. And I did eventually mm-hmm. find that in that game. I do want to play more of it, but I just find it so hard. I just feel like... I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I've been in school for so long where so much of your progress and your success is based on assessments and grades and like attendance and all this stuff. Like, you need to meet milestones to do well, but I'm just not used to it. I'm just not used to just go do something because it's fun. I don't know. It's a weird feeling to have. Go ahead.
I'm going to take a pretty hard turn. Are you ready for it, or do you want to finish a thought?
Oh, I'm ready for it.
Why do you do podcasts?
Wow. Because I like producing something that I already think that I'm like somebody who can hold a cool conversation that's interesting and meaningful, and I want to share that with people.
But what's the goal here? Is this not like, you're just, I mean,
and
like...
creating a body of work.
And, like, so, okay, let's take the Garnet Wager here, right?
Yeah.
Is it like, okay, we're going to get through all the episodes of The Genius that there are.
Yeah.
And then the Garnet Wager will be done, and we will put it to bed, and it will be done.
That'll be super bummer. I don't want to finish The Genius. It's not... The goal with podcasting isn't to finish them. It's just the enjoying the process of doing them. It's being there while they're happening.
Welcome to Stardew Valley.
take up your axe and shovel and get to work. The other angle, really briefly, is I don't mean to like get too personal, but I took one of my last classes in college was a like sci-fi literature class where we read The Player of Games by Ian M. Banks, a very good book, by the way, that people should read if they care about science, like good intellectual science fiction. It's part of like a trilogy or something, but the theory posited by that course and by that book, obviously, was we often think about utopias, like the world of Stardew Valley, as like, it's beautiful, but flawed. Like it's so much beauty and tenderness to it. And it's somewhere we want to be, but at the end of the day, like there's something negative about it, or there's something that we are neglecting because of the utopia, right?
Sure. Yeah.
The Player of Games posits that we do not need to have struggle to get to success. Like, often capitalism instills in us the value of, if you tough it up for X number of days, months, years, whatever, then you will achieve the thing you want, which is comfort or success or notoriety or whatever. And Stardew Valley in that book and all the stuff that we're talking about neglects that exact idea, and it says, no, you can just be there. You can just have fun owning a farm. Nobody's going to take it from you. It's not going to get plagued by locusts. It's just a good farm that is as good as the time that you put into it.
this isn't Dark Souls. It's not like, well, to make growing crops really feel meaningful, we're going to have a plague of locusts.
Right. We don't have to kick your ass. Well, that's a good comparison, though. We don't have to kick your ass to make you like it. You can just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me so long to get there. Like, I spent most of the time, the like 2 hours, 2.5 hours of us playing Stardew Valley, being like, where's the game? Like, where's the end that I'm missing? And then once I realized that there isn't one in the sense that I was thinking of, I really came to appreciate it. So, I mean, cool game. People should play it. Just go into mind that it's not a game with, like, objectives. It's just kind of there.
Mm-hmm. It's a game for people who...
If you're tired of games, because I mean, honestly, one of my biggest problems with games, even though I just said I like games with goals and objectives, is too many of them just like feed the hamster wheel of risk and reward, which is unhealthy and taps into a lot of our worst qualities. And Stardew Valley is like, no, you don't need risk for reward. You can just have the thing you want. It's going to take some time. It's going to take like patience. If you plant a turnip seed, it will take whatever 8 days to become a flower, but it'll become a flower. It's not gonna fail, you know.
You can enjoy your Dark Souls, you can enjoy your God of Wars, you can enjoy your Call of Duties, you can enjoy all of these intense game experiences about struggle and failure and defeat and victory.
Yeah.
And when you're tired and you can't do it anymore, open your desk and there'll be a little envelope with a Steam key for Stardew Valley.
Now
they won't. I'm not giving you a free copy.
No.
But this is a metaphor. Use the metaphor.
It now has multiplayer too, which the idea of... I think that is where I would get back into it, definitely.
Once it's working a little better?
Yes, exactly. Once it's like a functional multiplayer mode that doesn't like either require you to have LAN or be on the right beta build or something, I would love to just like run a farm with some friends. That sounds like a very good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think I'm going to give you... it was hard. Like, I mean, time put in versus time enjoyment time is like low. Because I think I said I spent most of the time not enjoying it, but I learned a lot about myself playing it. So I'm gonna, and that's kind of what we want out of our homework. So I think I'm gonna have to give you 4 for this.
Hey, yeah. I'll take it.
The only thing keeping me from the 5 is that I thought I was going crazy for a large percentage of it. Like, why isn't this the game I thought it was? Oh. That's why. It's not.
Turns out, it's not because it's not. It's something else.
Check out Stardew Valley. It's on like every single platform now.
It's really getting around.
Yeah.
And yeah, multiplayer coming up. It kind of works right now, kind of doesn't. We wanted to do it, and it didn't work for us. Nope. But, you know, just one of those things.
Someday. I think that brings us to our deathmatch, Six.
Yeah, I think it does.
Tell the people what we're playing this week, what the kids played this week.
So, this week, they played Same Picture Hunt.
Ah, memory.
So, this is there's a board with 16 letters. Behind every letter is a picture. It is basically a turn-based memory game where... the players are on conveyor belts it's way too complicated to describe when it's actually not that hard in execution.
It's actually the simplest deathmatch of all time.
Mm-hmm. Also, lower tier. But.
Wow.
It's just not.
I texted you, or I think I messaged you saying, like, this is finally the deathmatch I actually want to play myself. That's just because I understand it. That's because I understood the rules right away, and I could like see myself doing well in it.
Sure, like I could understand how to play it. I feel like I would not stand up. I wouldn't stand up there feeling like I had no idea what was happening.
Yeah.
Right, like which would happen. Like if I was playing Tactical Yutanori.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like it's one of those things where you short circuit yourself. Right, you're like, okay, if I think one step ahead, then they're going to think 2 steps ahead, so I should think 3, and they're going to think 4, and I'll think 5, and you just keep going until you run out of brain power, seems like you tie yourself in knots. It doesn't seem fun to me. This one, it's like, oh no, like. There's a competitive element that I think makes sense, where it's like, okay, sometimes by guessing correctly, I'm giving my opponent information. But for the most part, it's a fairly straightforward memory game.
Mm-hmm. It's Songmin versus Kyungran, in case we didn't say, because Jinho won the game, obviously.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
It was indeed Songmin versus Kyungran.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a race to the bottom.
Oh, no. It's got a really weird, the game had a really weird arc to it, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, first of all, the music choices are all over the place, too. There's, like, I joke about how, like, the deathmatch is where they tend to do all the funny licensed music. Like, last week was the Great Gatsby soundtrack. They put, like, the Pink Panther theme at some point.
Yeah!
Like, what are you guys doing?
That was weird! That was a strange decision.
So, like, just playing Memory is, like, super boring to watch. Very, very boring. Not that cool. The idea of you are playing Memory, but you're also on a, like, conveyor belt, and if you get one right, you go forward, and you can go guess again, and if you get one wrong, you're pushed backwards, and if you fall off the conveyor belt, you lose. That's kind of fun. It's, like, a fun little set piece of the two conveyor belts with all the pictures on them. But it's just, like, it's just enough pieces on the board to where I couldn't probably easily memorize the whole board. Kyungran says, like, I'm only going to memorize half the board, and the strategy that wins for her is realizing that even if you know how to progress, you don't need to say the right answer every time.
But, like, also that doesn't seem to do anything. Because it's like, all that means is that they both stand, because, like, at some point she's going to say it, right? Like, the tile that's directly in front of her isn't going to change. All she's doing is delaying the part where they both guess it.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it achieved anything to me.
Early on, no, it's just effective early on where, for example, I think Songmin gets to go first because he has more garnets.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, do you want to go first? And he's like, hell no. Like, he doesn't go first. Because you want as many wrong answers as you can get early on so you can learn the board. Once most of the board has been revealed, like 3/4 of it, that is when you start just going for gold.
Because
early on, you could push yourself off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So that's her strategy, but she uses it like late into the game and then literally forgets what some of the pieces are and starts saying the same answer more than once, which
both of them do.
I would do that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, neither of them have been so they say at the beginning of this, like, Songmin's never been at a DM before, right? And
yeah.
I was like, oh, wait, yes, he has. And I was like, oh, wait, he has, but only as a teammate when his life wasn't actually on the line.
Yes.
So, like, oh, actually, no, I guess he has, like, he's been there, but he hasn't really felt the pressure. And I think both of them really struggle under that pressure and the scrutiny of, you know, the cameras and a bunch of people staring at them. And just sort of flustered and fumble a lot.
Yeah.
And so that part felt very relatable, but
It's, like, not that fun to watch early on because, like I said, you're just watching them get it wrong. And I was kind of trying to learn the board for funsies myself, but it's hard. And, I don't know, the pieces just move back and forth for a while. And then finally it's like, well, Songmin's just losing. And then he gets extremely lucky and saves himself from death. And that's kind of fun. And then finally there's I think at one point the announcer is like, they have now seen every piece on the board. If either of them memorized the board, they could win the whole game right now. And neither of them does.
No.
Neither of them does that at all. They're both like, I'm even... Like, Songmin goes on, like, a rampage where he's, like, doing super well for several turns and then gets one wrong. And then when it comes up on him again, he's like, I forgot everything. My brain erased itself.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of preying on, like, the worst aspects of, like, what this game would do to my brain or to any player's brain, which is, like, I can be smart for a finite amount of time, and then I just can't. I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to be that critical of this stuff. We've basically said all the negative stuff about the game, but the conclusion being that the reason Songmin can't keep up, in his mind at least, is that he has spent so much of his adult life, like, smoking and drinking, that his, like, memory has gotten bad, made me really fucking sad.
It was depressing. It was a, like, bummer moment.
It comes at you really fast in this match where, like, Songmin is literally sweating. And we love Songmin. He's so fun. He's so good. I've never thought of him, other than when they joke about, like, his legal troubles or, like, when he used to be in a band. I don't really think of him as the older guy. I just kind of think of him as one of the players. But you realize that he's definitely older than Kyungran. He's definitely, definitely older than Jin-ho. And, like, his seniority isn't always a good thing. And I had this, like, weird, like, wave of, like, anxiety about death or, like, just aging out of the skills that I want to maintain for the rest of my life that, like, made me tense up and, like, kind of get emotional during this part. I almost cried.
Yeah.
Like, he just realizes that, and then he loses really gracefully, and everyone's like, we're gonna miss you, and then he just... And then we get, like, a really good montage of him bonding with everyone, obviously. I knew his montage was gonna be the best.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walks out, and it's like, man, that happened.
So he gets the part talking about, like, you know, like, smoking and drinking and getting old and how that's messing with his memory, right? And that was... That kind of hit me. But the part that really got me, the part that I really connected with, is he's talking about, like, you know, I'm gonna paraphrase, but basically this is the gist of his very last bit of talking on the show, is like, I guess he's probably gonna come back a little bit in the finale as, like, a cameo, but, like, I spent this whole game, and I've stayed alive a long time, I've won a bunch of DMs, I've done some pretty impressive things, and I'm dealing entirely with people that are smarter than me.
Yeah.
And I'm getting some of these victories over people that are smarter than me, and I don't know how to feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, fuck.
Yeah.
You got me. Like, yeah, no, that's, like, I feel like that's most times that I compete in things. It's like, okay, can I, like, figure out some way to get by the skin of my teeth when I probably don't deserve to? And then it's like, oh, fucking, what does that say? You know? Like, I mean, I was, you know, especially our listeners are going to have, like, you know, listeners like Reese saw me compete in a genius org, right?
Right.
I was fucking bad. I was really bad. And part of that's because when I started the org, I hadn't seen the genius, and I was just playing it wrong. I was just not understanding how the game was supposed to work and making bad decisions. But also, I just wasn't as smart as the people I was playing against. Hmm. And... I don't know. Like, I mean, that's one of those, like, self-effacing... Maybe I was not smart in the ways that mattered, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Fucking give them a mic, I'll kick their ass on a podcast, I guess. Whatever that's worth. But, like, you know, I was going up against people who were smarter than me. The person who went out in our first main match...
Yeah.
Went out partially because of an action I took. Other people were involved, but, like, it was a game... And, like, they wanted some piece of information from me, and I lied about it, and it got them eliminated. And, like, they were smarter than me, and they went out way before I did. And I didn't know how to feel about that,
yeah.
You know?
You're constantly going to feel in games like this, like, if you stay longer than others, that either you didn't deserve to be there or you got there when someone else should have, you know? That's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's, like, this is all really corny. Like, at the end of the day, and I have a weird relationship with that word, obviously. People know me. I'm very, like, effusive, and I have strong opinions about things in the grand scheme of things that aren't that important. It's fine. Chase your bliss, as they say. But, like, the genius signifying that Songmin has fallen by showing his piece fall off the board in, like, slow motion is really fucking good. It's really good. It's so, like, if I showed that to someone who's not seen the show before, they would be cackling laughing. That's so dumb. But to me, being invested for 11 weeks talking about this show, I'm like, I'm like, so, it broke me watching his piece fall off and go in slow motion. Oh my God.
It's one of those, the other thing that gets me about this, right, that makes it, like, genuinely kind of tragic is, like, Songmin is the one of these people that it seems like really could have used this win.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what's one of the, like, the quiet sub-stories of the show is, like, oh, here's this bit where, like, oh, Songmin went down on one knee to, you know, ask Sungyu for help, and that's hilarious, and people being like, oh, you've been doing that a lot lately, and there's the, you know, the little subtitle, like, he's had some legal trouble lately.
Yep.
And then it's like... Like, this episode, there's a moment where he's walking and someone just calls his name and he, like, jumps. And he's like, oh, God, you can't do that. And a little subtitle says, like, creditor trauma because he's been having trouble with debt collectors lately. And it's like, and then there's also last episode where he was, like, mad at Sungyu for wasting garnets because it deflates the prize pool and he needs the money because he's got debts.
I hope they give him, like, some of the money.
Like, fuck, man. he's not just, like, he was here and he had a good time, and he's being a really gracious sport, but also, he kind of was hoping for, like, a bank not to, like, take a cruise, but to even up some of his debt.
Right.
That's rough.
You super don't want this guy to not succeed. I mean, and he's like, I've read, we've said before, we try not to, I'm trying to get the words correct. But we try not to, like, bring the reality of the guests, the players into our show that much, because mm-hmm. it can sometimes, like, peel back the mystery too much and like, break the illusion that we're just having fun with these people. But Songwin, the person, has, like, not exactly had an easy life. Like, he's still in television and film and, like, he has regular gigs and stuff. But, like, he has seriously had really, like, he's had, like, at least one divorce. He's been in multiple relationships. He was arrested in 2006. There's some worse stuff back, like going back to when he was still in Rura, the hip hop group that he was a part of. Like the dude could really use a good day. And seeing all of that, it was like, you know, one of the things that Reese pointed out was like, they thought it would be. We would think it was weird that Songwin, who is usually so funny and, like, silly, has this really serious ending. But, like, no, that makes exactly perfect sense.
Yeah.
Often the most, like, ridiculous comic people are the people with the most, like, difficult lives. That's a fact of life.
Yeah, it's just a coping mechanism for a lot of people.
Yep. Hi, hello. My name is Alan.
Yeah.
Hello.
Whereas I just make jokes because I'm a very happy person.
Exactly. That's our dynamic.
I'm the stable one.
I'm the horse, and we are the horse and stable.
You can't. Alan, no. That was a bad one.
Oh, no.
Oof. Woof.
Yep, I'm sorry. It's Moby time, motherfuckers.
Oh, babe. Then it fell apart.
Then it fell apart.
Yeah. So, we get a little preview.
A little taste of the best episode of Genius.
Of the finale. So, it appears that the way this is going to work is that... oh man, I almost saw a thing. So there are going to be like items that the players will get that give them advantages, and these items are given out by eliminated contestants.
Yep.
So everybody who's been eliminated has an item that they can give that will help you through matches.
Yep.
Now, I noticed, as the thing that I scrolled up real quick because I noticed is that Reese predicted who we would think got what.
Yeah.
Or maybe who actually got... I didn't look hard enough. I think we should predict right now.
Yep.
I don't know, you wanna say 5 garnets, I guess?
Yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, we gotta just put all... It has to come down to... It has to be a thing where I can win the game. So, I mean...
So right now...
Yeah, give me the count right now so I can think about that, yeah.
You're at 123.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at 148.
Okay.
That's a lot closer than it's been. We're
25?
You know, it's fluctuated, but yeah, we're 25 apart.
Yeah, so I think 5 per is perfect, and then plus whoever wins the game.
Mm-hmm. And also homework.
True. Okay. What do you want to do first?
Okay, so let's go in order of...
We can use Reese's order. These are just predictions from them, like, you know... We don't have to use.
But I don't want to see their I don't want to be informed.
Okay.
I want to make this guess blind. I'm going to edit this part out. I'm going to look up
names of contestants.
Yes, and the order they were eliminated in.
Okay.
Because I want to do it in that order. Okay. We're going to guess in the order that people were eliminated from the show. So first, we're going to do Lee Jun Seok.
The politician.
Yes.
Kyungran.
Oh, actually, are you just guessing? Are you guessing and I'm taking a counter bet? Is that how we're doing this? Yeah, let's do that. Okay. So you're saying Kyungran.
Yes.
If you're wrong, I get 5 garnets. If you're right, you get 5 of my garnets.
Great. Oh, so it just has to be opposites then. So if I vote for one, you just get the other one?
Right. I'm just by default taking whatever you don't pick.
Okay.
Which is very generous of me, if I
may say.
But
no. So then I'll let you make the next pick, and I'll take the opposite.
Oh, okay.
That seems fair.
Kim Min-seo? I'm going to say Jin-ho for Min-seo.
Okay. Why do you think that?
I don't know. I feel like they got along.
Okay, yeah. What's the next one?
Cha Min-soo, a.k.a. Exposition Cha.
Oh my god, Kyung-ran.
Okay. Are you just going to pick Kyung-ran for everyone?
No. I have like three in my head that are going to be Jin-ho.
Okay. Choi Chang-yup. That's going to be a Kyung-ran.
Okay. Okay.
He likes ladies. Listen.
Yeah.
We know this about him. Choi Jung-moon.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say Jin-ho.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kim Gura.
Oh, you know.
He's going to give it to Jin-ho because he's a misogynist.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly, precisely what I was thinking.
I hate to be this blunt, but that's why.
Yes, that's completely right.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Kim Pung.
Oh, that's tough. Because that's the Jin-ho alliance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, he'll give it to Jin-ho.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, he agreed to let Jin-ho take him down, basically.
Yeah.
He's fully Jin-ho alliance.
Entirely.
Cha Yurim? Kyung-ran. She worked with Kyung-ran a lot.
Yep. Yeah.
Park Yun-ji.
Kyung-ran.
Okay.
Why not?
Kim Sung-yu. Oh, I guess that's Jin-ho, isn't it?
Yeah, that was one of my three, yep. That's the third tier of the Jin-ho alliance.
Mm-hmm. He's going to talk about how, like, whenever he's in the room with a woman, he's going to talk about how he actually doesn't get along and what's her sign. They must not be the same sign. He doesn't get along.
Exactly right, yep.
And then, of course, Lee Sang-min.
Oh my god. This is mine, right?
Uh-huh.
That's Kyung-ran.
That's the last one.
That's Kyung-ran.
Kyung-ran.
They have a whole montage of, like, look how good we were. We were the best alliance on the show. They know.
Listen, I have to make you sound skeptical so that you doubt yourself and pick the wrong thing so I win this game that we're playing.
Yeah.
By the way, I recorded all our bets wrong, and no matter how this goes, I'll win. Bwahahahaha. I didn't.
Good.
Alan can check. Alan has a link.
Yeah, I was going to say. I have the receipts. But that's our bets.
That is our bets. We are going to be going into the final episode with, is that like 55 garnets on the line from bets alone?
From bets, yeah, totally. Hell yeah.
Man, yeah, this is going to decide it one way or another. I know, we might split them, but, I mean, in fact, we will split them, I'm pretty sure, but still.
What if someone just sweeps? Jesus,
They're all like, we all decided to pool our items to put Sung-yu back in.
No, he's just in the game again, and he wins. No, that's why I said you get to pick every other one, because if I pick all of them and I'm just right, then that's no fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it for...
Did you run out of batteries? It sounds like you just burnt out.
No, I feel like I wrote something. Did I forget somebody's name?
Oh, you're not doing a bit right now?
I might have to plug it in the middle.
No!
It's the plug zone. When the double fake stops working, you go to the triple.
I hate it. I love it.
Alan, plug your shit.
What shit? Shit? You mean the work that I work so hard on?
The garbage, yeah.
Yeah, the garbage. You can find me on Twitter, at Alan Abraham.
Welcome to the Garbage Wager.
Oh my god! New podcast! Welcome to the Garbage Wager, where we review trash. And bet on trash. Nah, it's at Alan Abraham. That's AllenIbraham. If you're in the Genius community and you're not following me on Twitter, get your head straight, fix your shit. I want that number. I want those numbers to go up. I want to have 420 followers. You can also listen to me on two, count them, two other podcasts, One is called Fireside Friends. It's a monthly show found at firesidefriends.net where me, my friends Ryan and Katie talk about pop culture, how it affects our lives, and then we collaborate on a monthly discussion of a piece of media that we call the Share Experience. I'm also, whoops, I hit the microphone, on Chats a Television Podcast, found wherever you listen to those crazy things. That's a show where my best friend John and I talk about TV shows once a week, not unlike this one, except we don't play games other than comedy games. We are going to be starting new episodes of that soon. We're on a bit of a little hiatus as we had just wrapped up the newsroom, and we're going to be starting watching Pushing Daisies after this.
Excellent. Congratulations on finishing the newsroom.
Thanks. I'm free.
It's like, I know you're bummed out because you love the show so much, but it's okay. There'll be another. Listen, Aaron Sorkin just got the rights to make another West Wing.
Oh, please stop.
No, seriously, he did.
To make another one?
Yeah. He's going to make more West Wing.
That's a huge bummer. I've never heard worse news.
You can find Alan being a big fan of all of Aaron Sorkin's work on Twitter. If you want to find me, I'm at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. If you want to know about the podcasts I do, I have a pinned tweet. Look at the pinned tweet. Yay!
You're free from the long plugs.
Yeah.
I just close my eyes and go into like a zen mode when I do my plugs. I'm like, oh, blah, 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 and then I can,
it's not a problem for me to, like, listen, I'm on 6 podcasts now. Nice. I obviously have no problem talking long past the point people are interested listening.
Like right now?
It's more just like I start to feel guilty about wasting people's time.
Hmm.
You're 11 episodes in on this show. You've heard me do this plug zone. How many times? You know what my shows are. Or you don't care. Either way, I respect that.
I respect you. Be cool. Be excellent to each other.
Listen, I don't know if I respect you. I don't know who you are.
What the? Yeah, that's fair. take care of your bodies, folks. Don't be like Songman. Live your life. Well, I mean, live your life happy. Do your best. Respect the temple that is your own body. And what is it? Eat carrots to keep a good memory?
Don't commit crimes.
Definitely don't commit crimes. Try not to do that. Do your best.
Well, listen, you can commit some crimes, fuck the police, but like, be careful.
Yeah, come on. Like, torrent music, I guess that's fine, but also support artists, but also...
Torrent music? You a World of Warcraft fan?
Oh my god.
Thanks everybody and good night.
I hate it.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, Six.
Guess what?
We fucked up.
We did fuck up.
What do we do this time?
I was reading over the document we were sent by our listener and friend Reese. And one thing is that Reese had a misunderstanding about us making a bet. We tried to make a bet last episode and we weren't able to settle. Uh-huh. Right? So that's not actually a mistake. But they do have a section at the bottom where Reese predicts the cultural errors we're going to make and is spot on.
Oh, I didn't even look at this. You're right.
Some of these don't apply, but okay, so let's go over two of them real quick.
Yeah.
We were confused over the two birthdays thing,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Koreans sort of have two birthdays. There's a difference between date of birth and birthday for Korean culture.
But they don't explain why they have two birthdays.
No, I mean, because it's a Korean show and they're assuming Koreans are watching it. Who will just know this?
No, I'm saying Reese doesn't explain that.
Oh, yeah, no, Reese doesn't explain it, but yeah, so apparently some Korean culture thing about date of birth versus birthday, and it was just the guest misunderstanding the phrasing of the question.
This is from quartz.qz.com. When you arrive in Korea, you age a year or two. For hundreds of years, Koreans have used a different method to count age. It's sometimes referred to as lunar age, nominal age, or East Asian age reckoning. That's problematic. But in Korea, it's called Korean age. The method has its origins in China before spreading to Asia, but today South Korea is the only country where people still use it. Essentially, a person's Korean age goes up a year on New Year's Day, not on their birthday. So when a baby is born on December 31st, they actually turn 2 the next day. If you want to find out what yours is, follow the simple equation. Take the current year, subtract your birth year, and add 1. Fuck.
Huh.
That's
cool. I thought my theory about, like, immigration was really cool, though.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is this part right here. Songman unintentionally broke a rule in his bracelet tactic. Granted, he didn't realize it was a rule, because, of course, the players weren't informed of rules. Hmm. But the guest obeyed his command and put on the bracelet, breaking the third rule that guests had received.
Oh,
that's true.
You can't do commands?
Right, right, that guests are to not follow requests.
Interesting. Which is,
yeah, that is interesting. I wonder, like, you can't really hold that against Songmin, because he wasn't aware of it, so he didn't break the rules, just the rules were broken in an interaction he was with. So, like, what do you do in that instance? Do you punish the guest?
But how would you punish the guest? Like now, it doesn't matter, because Songmin lost, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. No, that's a weird situation. That is interesting.
Thanks for the heads up, though, yeah.
Yeah. And then, there is some, you know, stuff about, like, Songmin and Jinho, like, refusing to answer questions and, like, entering and leaving. Fortunately, we did not get confused over those ones. So.
Yeah, because we're super cool.
We're pretty smart. We are intelligent. I was in a genius org one time. Did you hear? I think that makes me a genius.
I think you've told that story before.
Anyway, back to the... Well, I'm putting this after the episode, so I guess back to the episode being over. Bye!
Bye.